New York Game Day with Mike Tannenbaum, Matthias Kiwanuka, and Anita Marks.
Rich Cimini brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. With that being said, let's bring in Rich, who does, again, a phenomenal job covering the Jets. He also has his own podcast that you could tune into. Where can they find that, Rich?
Well, of course, they can get it on any ESPN platforms and also Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
Love it. Love it. All right, let's dive into it. I'm really excited about this game for two reasons. Number one, I think there's a shot. I think there's a chance the Jets could get their first win today, and that would be exciting. And number two, because of how porous and how horrible this Tennessee Titans secondary is, I think that Zach Wilson could get out of this, oh, he's the worst rookie quarterback narrative, and really showcase his athleticism today. So two positives, game plan, game scheme. How do you see this playing out, Rich?
Well, I definitely think this is the most competitive, helped by the fact that Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are out. So that's definitely going to help the Jets. Now they can overplay the run. They can overplay Derrick Henry and try to stop him that way. Of course, even then, it's no easy task because he's such a great running back. But in terms of Zach, I agree with you, Anita. The secondary is not great for Tennessee. They're very vulnerable to play action. They're among the worst teams in the league against 8 play action. I think they're giving up about 11 yards per attempt. The Jets have not used a lot of play action this year, in part because they've been behind so much. But I think watch that today. If they can get some semblance of a running game going, I think that's an area where they can hurt Tennessee.
Rich, let me ask you this. We're just now seeing Denzel Mims come out. Why do you think that is, and do you think he's going to have an effect on this game?
Well, that became a big story this week. Actually, it's been a big story for a few weeks because he was a healthy scratch the last two games. And this week, through a series of circumstances, essentially they have no choice but to play him. I mean, unfortunately, Jeff Smith was in a car accident on Wednesday. He suffered a concussion, and so he's not playing. You know, Elijah Moore, as you alluded to earlier, Anita, in the fantasy aspect, you know, Elijah Moore is out today. So the Jets have only 5 healthy receivers. Denzel is one of those 5, and so he will be playing today. I think you will see him line up at wide receiver to get some reps on offense.
Again, Rich Cimini joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. You know, I've spoken to a few scouts, Rich, about Mims. And I mentioned this on, you know, I had a number of Jets callers who called in, as you can only imagine, a lot of Jets players down on Joe D, down on this organization for drafting him when they did and him not being really productive. But I've had a few scouts who explained to me, like, a lot of times a regime comes in, they draft a player based on the offensive scheme that is current, and then that scheme changes, and that Mims doesn't necessarily fit the LaFleur scheme that is in place right now. Have you heard that from other scouts? Have you heard that from other analysts? Is there any truth to that? You know, your take on Mims fitting into the system and performing well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of validity to that, Anita. I mean, we know that he was drafted by the same GM, but the coaching staff changed. They're running a West Coast offense now. I think it's a very precise offense in terms of route running. I mean, it has to be down. You have to run a route down to the exact foot, down to the inch, and that's not Denzel's style. He came from the Baylor offense, which was a very unsophisticated passing attack. Most of his big plays in college were just, you know, go routes, you know, just go deep and catch the ball. And he often did because he's 6'3" and he runs a 4.3 40. And now, you know, they're using tighter splits, as Robert Saleh describes it. Now he's playing in a phone booth, which requires a different route running style. And I agree. I do not think he is a fit for them schematically. And that's one of the reasons why he hasn't been able to carve a rollout.
Again, Rich Cimini joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Before we let you go, you know, big picture here, right? Like, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, you know, the Jets do win. Great. But, you know, looking at this season, isn't it more so about the development of Zach Wilson than it is win or losses? Or, you know, I mean, the game script also could end, Rich, where, you know, the Jets lose, but Zach Wilson passes for 250 yards and two touchdowns, but yet they still lose. Like, for me, you know, that the win-loss column, to me, this season really doesn't matter. What matters to me is the progression and the development of Zach Wilson. Agree or disagree?
Well, I'm going to disagree a little bit, Anita. I agree with most of the of your theory. I mean, wins always matter. And when you have a new coach who's trying to build a program and who is, more importantly, trying to change a culture that's been so bad for so many years, you need some validation. And there's no better validation than winning football games. Now, is, you know, I think Wilson's development is paramount, you know, to creating a better program and a better culture. So, I mean, at the end of the year, is there a difference between going 4-13 or 5-12 or 6-11? No, there's not a great difference in that. I picked him to go 5-12. I think the important thing is that he's getting better toward the end of the year. You want to see the team competitive, and I think that's what Jet fans are so frustrated about, as the team has been non-competitive in the first three games. They've been outscored 46-3 in the first half of the first three games, and I think that's why Jet fans are going nuts, and they have a right to be. They just want to see their team in the game in the fourth quarter, and I do think today they will be in the game in the fourth quarter. So I don't think – I do agree that – Wilson's development is hugely important to the success of this organization. But to just diminish and say wins are not important, I don't agree with that.
Maybe I didn't phrase it properly. It's not that wins aren't important. To me, the development of Zach Wilson is more important in my eyes this season, because I felt if the Jets won four games this season, then that was a win within itself. Before I let you go, last thing for you is this Tennessee Titans team. Their secondary is god awful, but they're up there top five in blitz rate. So they're going to be coming after Zach Wilson. Do you feel like the first three games? I know it's been a crash course in reading blitz packages and in design and schemes that are designed and whatnot, but. Do you think maybe the first three games might help Zach Wilson today, knowing that this Tennessee Titans team does pin their ears back and come after the quarterback in a very high blitz rate?
Yeah, he's going to, and they should blitz him, because, you know, he's not making good decisions right now. He's holding the ball too long. You know, he's been sacked 15 times. Anita, he's on a record pace right now. He could break David Carr's, you know, most sacks in a season record. And he's up there in terms of this three-game stretch. There have only been three other quarterbacks in the last 35 years for the Jets who've been sacked more often in a three-game stretch, and that's Ken O'Brien, Neil O'Donnell, and the immortal Luke Falk from a couple of years ago.
Wow.
So he's got to think fast, have to find his hot reads today. I think Jamison Crowder has been an underplayed factor. Him coming back, I think, will help Wilson. He's a guy, he's a veteran guy, a reliable slot receiver. He knows how to get quick separation. And I think that will help Wilson when he faces this extra pressure today.
You talked about sacks. I got perked my ears up. Just quick question. How much of that do you think is on scheme, and how much of that is actually on the player when it comes to guys getting sacked? Because as a defensive player, you know, you always lick your chops at the guy who holds that ball, pat that ball one more time and I'm going to get you type thing. Do you think this is a schematic thing, or you think this is, an internal problem that he's got to deal with?
You know, Robert Saleh had an interesting quote, and you could definitely appreciate this, Mathias, being a former defensive lineman. He says, when a quarterback hitches once, you better be able to smell his breath. When he hitches twice, he better be on the ground. And that's from the defensive – you can relate to that. I mean,
I love it.
That's from the defensive-minded head coach. And so Zach Wilson is hitching a lot. He averages – more than 3 seconds per throw, and there's only four quarterbacks in the league who are averaging that, hold the ball that long. And so I think the offensive line gets a bad rap for giving up these sacks, and they definitely have to improve their protection. But I think a lot of them are on the rookie quarterback, and he's just got to make quicker decisions and get through his progressions faster to get to options two and three instead of waiting for option one to get downfield to make a big play.
Understandable. Rich, I get it.
Go ahead, Kiwi.
I was going to say, it's understandable. I get it because, you know, from the defense perspective, what we always say is that hits are cumulative, you know, so the effect of the hit is psychological and it's physical. And, you know, you're talking about him approaching David Carr's record. You know, the more you get hit, you know, the more you're going to be patting that ball, the more hesitant you're going to be. And I just wonder, and I'm curious, like, you know, is this something that's going to be detrimental for his progression throughout this season and for his career, or is it something that they can get corrected? Because they do have, you know, the ability with these next couple games in the schedule. If they can get this one turned around, then, you know, they have a couple of games that they could potentially win, and the season can go one or the other, go in two really different directions, in my opinion. So I put a lot of pressure on this game and focused on, you know, him getting the ball out of his hands. I just wonder, you know, is that a mental thing or is this a schematic thing? But thank you for answering that question.
You bet. My pleasure.
New York Game Day with Mike Tannenbaum, Matthias Kiwanuka, and Anita Marks.